May God have mercy on us all.
Welcome to the Alan Handelman Show, a variety of fascinating people from the international world of rock and roll to the conversational newsmakers and authors, from the great television and motion picture talents to the country's funniest comedians. And best of all, you can call Alan and his guests toll-free at 1-800-ROCK-TALK. You never really know what's going to be happening, but we guarantee you a show people will be talking about tomorrow. Now, with tonight's show, here's Alan.
Welcome to the Alan Handelman Show. Later on tonight, Metallica, a national exclusive. Got a big show for you tonight. Welcome. This is the weekly gathering of rock listeners. We want to hear talk every once in a while, not your parents' kind of talk show. This is the talk show that rocks. And tonight, a surprise and something we haven't even put on the website. We haven't promoted this. It's something for the regular listeners. Back in 95, 96, 97, we did a lot of shows about the death of Kurt Cobain. Some of the most compelling shows I've ever done in all the years. It's just an amazing amount of information that came out pointing to Courtney Love. And I stopped doing the show, and I'll tell you why later on, but we stopped dealing with the subject by and large. And this week, news is starting to break. If you watched Dateline on Friday night, you saw the people that we're going to be talking to right now on the show. And the latest on Kurt Cobain. Tom Grant was the chief investigator. This is the guy who was there from day one when Courtney couldn't find Kurt. And he started to get suspicious. He started to notice things, asked tough questions, and she basically said, "Well, you know what? I'm going to fire you."
Hi, this is Angus Young and
Brian Johnson of AC/DC.
Be here Sunday night as we take over the Alan Handelman Show. I can't tell you now what's going to happen, but I'll tell you this. People are going to be buzzing about it on Monday.
Hi, everybody. This is Alan Handelman. It's going to be an AC/DC party with Malcolm, Brian, and Angus.
This ain't your parents' type of talk show. The Alan Handelman Show.
Don't tell your story.
Well, if the devil's called Jack Daniels, yeah, I'm a devil worshiper, definitely.
Pat Buchanan has a new book out. It's not the first. He's had three or four controversial books out. This one called State of Emergency. When you went on the book tour, people at MSNBC seemed happy about it. In fact, most of the people I've read are very upset that you're not there. They're not happy about it at all. They're your friends. What happened?
I am a heretic to the prevailing orthodoxy, which is becoming more and more intolerant. And so they call me all these names that give them the legitimate right, they say, to silence him, shut him up, get him off the air. But I've got a lot of friends in front of the camera over there and behind the camera. That's why I don't want to be hostile or caustic. And I liked the 10 years. I enjoyed it, but I'm gone. I just tried to figure out how the country that I grew up in came to be the country I'm living in and where exactly it's going. And I can't be optimistic.
You're 22 years old, Matthew.
Yeah, you there?
Yes, I am. Gotcha. Good to have you on.
All right, man. Love the show. I love the fact that no matter when I turn on, I never know what I'm going to be listening to that day. I love the variety of your show, man.
Thanks.
You suck me in every night. I love listening to your shows.
Hey, we got Nikki Sixx back with us, a good friend of the show. He speaks his mind and talks about the sex, the drugs, the rock and roll, the dirt. He talks about this openly and honestly. And one thing I got to tell you, Nikki, everyone I talk to says, man, once I start with this book, I can't put it down.
Yeah, you know, I hear that. I hear that all the time.
The test is whether the music stands up. And some of the songs, I think, for example, Kickstart My Heart, has to be one of the all-time greatest rock and roll songs, period, let alone the whole damn album, Dr. Feelgood. It's just an incredible CD. If you would, and this is coming from the book that is extremely graphic and to the point, but if you could tell a story of how you died and how you were revived and the inspiration for Kickstart My Heart.
Well, I think after my run with drug addiction and heroin specifically, and, you know, having many overdoses, but one that was, you know, so fatal that it really made an impact upon my psyche, that I kind of became reclusive. And like we've heard before fame can be very confining mm-hmm. and very confusing. And I locked myself in my house and I wrote that album. And that was my therapy. That was my, you know, way of getting through, you know, through the addiction. And I think it comes through in that album. I mean, the thing is, a lot of those songs are very personal. And the other thing is, a lot of those songs are just meant to have a good time with.
We have Jesse Ventura with us. Why would anyone want to run for president with the way the climate is politically today?
Well, you better be honest before you do it, because if you've done anything, it's going to be exposed. I'll tell you a story. When I won governor, Ric Flair and Gene Okerlund came to visit me, Ric Flair the wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
And Rick had his sights set on that he might run for governor of North Carolina. I wasn't adverse to that. And I said, well, Rick, do you have any skeletons in your closet? And whatever you've done, come out beforehand and admit to everything you've done. Well, Rick then explained to me that he had like 200 speeding tickets, some astronomical number. And I looked at him and I said, Rick, you can't run for governor. They will blow you out of the water with that. It's a blatant disregard for law and order.
Dan Aykroyd is with us. What's that story about you doing the TV show for the Sci-Fi Channel and some very strange stuff happened to you?
Okay, well, yeah, here's my sort of arc on this one. Yeah, on the DVD, I talk about the disappearing car. Now, nobody has to believe me about the disappearing car. That's fine. Let me, you know, I had left all this UFO stuff behind. A couple of years ago, I'd hit the wall on it. I was past where John Mack was, where we've got to turn it around and make it part of transforming the planet and helping people and positivizing things. You know, John Mack, the great writer of the book Abduction, the Harvard psychiatrist, I know you know him, killed mysteriously in England there last year.
Right.
But now, you know, I've got a lot of things going on in my life. I got the House of Blues. I bought the Patron tequila line into Canada with John Paul DeJoria, my partner. And, you know, we have many enterprises to occupy our time. But so I did have this show a few years ago where I interviewed the guy, the expert on Sasquatch, Linda Moulton Howe, the cattle mutilation lady. And the mm-hmm. day I came to interview Greer and Bassett, the two experts on UFOs, I step outside to have a cigarette. Britney Spears calls me on the phone. She says, I want you to do the SNL that's coming up with me. And I'm looking one way and going, oh, yeah, sure, that'd be nice. And I turn and I see this black Crown Vic with two really tall guys, you know, look like the monsters there. I try to look at the plate. It looks almost pixelated or digitized, you know. I look back a split second to say, sure, that'd be good. I look back again, and that thing is gone. I mean, they did not turn around, do a U-turn. I was at 42nd there and 8th Avenue, that thing did not turn around, did not go past me. And no way in that split second that I look back in that conversation with her that car could have conventionally gone anyplace else than where it did, and it was gone. It vanished. So 10 minutes after that, I get a call. Bob Weiss, our producer, says, forget about interviewing anybody. We've been pulled off the air. It's over. The office is packed up. They're going to take the 20 and analyze and see what to do with it. So that all happened.
Wow.
Hi, this is Lewis Black. You're listening to Alan Handelman, and you better know that you're listening to Alan Handelman. You're not like listening to something else, because if you think you're listening to something else, you're not. You're listening to Alan Handelman.
I have a little list here I want to share with you, then I want to get your thoughts. Democrats, of course, anything with the word hate radio, community organizer, compromise, and now I think moderates.
Moderates is next. I mean, you know, they've run out of things. They brought back socialism, which doesn't even exist.
That's right.
I mean,
that's
really,
right. Yeah.
You know, to call this government socialist or any, you know, it's absurd, you know, especially, you know, you can't have it. There's no such thing in terms of socialism where, you know, the businesses are allowed to put in all the money they possibly can into an election. It just doesn't work that way. It's not the way it is. And if, it's just there's seven socialists left in the country. I mean, it's like it's absurd.
I know.
And if you really want to see, and the leadership is dead. The media. They now, you know, they worry about the liberal media. You know, the Fox is. They want. You know, there's a place for them to go. I mean, if you want somebody to tell you what it is that you think, there's a place for you to go. I don't read the New York Times. You know, most, you know, it's this whole concept of the fact that there's a lack of thought, that you read the New York Times because it kind of reassures you about your position. Well, you know, that ended during the Iraq War, mm-hmm. when the New York Times basically beat the drum to go there. So, mm-hmm. I mean, stop it already.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I read the New York Times to try to find bits and pieces of information because they're, and facts, because they still at least hire people who have resumes.
Sammy Hagar, what can you say about Sammy? There's so many great songs. I mean, it's usually the kind of rock and roll, too, that makes you want to party and celebrate.
Well, pretty much, because I came up through, as you well know, Alan, I came up through the concert circuit rather than the top 40 big-time hit single circuit. You know, the choruses, to me, warrant everyone in the audience putting their arm in the air, standing up and singing with you. I wrote songs directly to my fans and about my life.
Here's what Jay Leno happened to say last night.
Sammy claims in his new book he was once abducted by aliens from another planet.
Yeah, sure.
Turns out a whole mix-up. Just a big mistake. The aliens thought they were getting David Lee Roth. It was a whole thing. And they realized, yeah.
What do you think of that?
I think that's pretty funny, and I'll tell you what, but I think the aliens knew who they were getting with.
We're talking to John Stossel.
I'm sick of being a generalist. I'm no longer interested in the murder of the week, and I wanted to report on economic freedom and free markets, and there wasn't room for that at ABC, and so I, in a frustrating day, called Roger, and I was happy that he took the call and said, let's talk. And he said, okay, you know, you're not one of those lazy network types, are you? And I said, no, I used to do local news. I can work as hard as they work at Fox. And so he said, well, we would want you to do stuff for Fox News and O'Reilly and Beck and our non-opinion shows and also 4 specials a year and also a show for Fox Business.
Whoa.
And I thought, what, are you kidding me? This is endless.
Presidential candidate, Congressman Ron Paul, it is an honor to have you on.
Thank you. Nice to be with you.
Just as a comparison, your views, how they differ when it comes to civil liberties from Michelle Bachmann or even Mitt Romney, if you want, the two front runners.
I think I'd put the whole group of other candidates in the same category. I think they defend the status quo, whether it's foreign policy, civil liberties, or intervention here at home. But they're all very weak, I think, on the civil liberties issue because they're frightened and intimidated and insecure about allowing people to make their own decisions. And yet most Americans, liberals or conservatives, understand that the First Amendment permits you pretty well to read what you want and practice the religion you want. So if we trust people with intellectual pursuits and religious pursuits, they're pretty important. Why can't we trust people to decide what they put in their own bodies?
We're talking to the mafia lady, Linda Melito. She is the real-life model for Camilla Soprano.
So the mob at that time had pull with the Selective Service.
Oh, sure. They had pull with everything. Celebrities. I mean, everything. Look at Sam Giancana. Look at Phyllis McGuire. I mean, you know, now all of a sudden, De Niro and Sorkazy. I mean, but I'm going to tell you something about De Niro. Don't believe what they write, okay? Just don't. You can believe every word I say.
You were married to
there.
The guy. I mean,
there.
John Gotti was like coming over.
Gotti was a nothing. Gotti was a punk. Okay, he. I'll be honest, I know of that he killed one guy.
Just think of how crazy this is. J. Edgar Hoover tried to ban, and not only did he try, he was very successful in a lot of cities, Louie Louie by the Kingsmen. And not only that, he was actually investigating the Kingsmen. They were tailed for like a year and then questioned and hassled. And they were, you wouldn't believe, because they thought, oh my God, it's dirt. They couldn't even understand the lyrics. And that's ultimately what they found out after all the big commotion. Made them huge, of course. And renegade radio stations played the song anyway. It wasn't dirty. They were mumbling. They had a bad mic. By the way, just to catch you up on the Kingsmen, we had the drummer of the Kingsmen on, I remember, a few weeks ago. And he talked about all the things going on with the Kingsmen. Well, the lead singer of the Kingsmen emailed me and said, you know, that guy, he wasn't even there when we recorded Louie Louie. He came later. You ought to have me on talking about it. So we're going to, maybe next week we'll get the lead singer of Louie Louie in there. But the thing is, they try to ban anything kids are into.
So I think it's just a big hot button for a political movement, really. And I think a lot of people who just forget what it's like to be a kid fall into the trap of saying, well, it sounds right. Yeah, well, we need to do something about it. It's not as bad as they're making it out. Welcome back. Trying to go back here to when we were kids. And let's be honest, folks, doesn't matter. You know, it was always stuff around for kids to use for their imagination, even if they got it at school. But when it comes to the media, what were the shows when you were a kid? Or maybe it was other media that you used, even in the good old days of the 50s, 60s, and 70s, that you used to satisfy your fantasy world. 866-482-1011. If you're just tuning in, the reason what we're talking about is we had Robert Peters, president of Morality and Media, and we're talking about the FCC fines against CBS and other channels for having some sex, dirty words, and things like that get leaked out. And boy, the FCC means business. It's never, never been this strict. They're trying to clean up the airwaves. Maybe soon satellite radio and other things too. So we'll have to wait and see. But my point is, kids get much more scary stuff. Just going to school and going in the school bus and seeing some of the kids and how, you know, come on. There's much more scary stuff out there. And you know what's even more scary than these TV shows? What really hurts the kids is the news, the sensational news about anything. God, remember when you were a kid and you hear about a kidnapper being loose? Remember how scared you'd get? And now they don't just talk about a kidnapper. They give you every explicit detail and all the over and over and over. Growing up as a kid today, listening to the news is much scarier than watching a PBS special with some nipples.
I am a new caller. I've sat here, and I've actually in my car, just enthralled by the topic today.
It's good to have you here. Actually, this isn't even Alice Cooper's version, is it? This is Crocus. School's out. The kids are coming, and it could change everything, folks. And I'll tell you something. It's not... You know, a lot of people assume, well, Obama is because he's young and he's good looking and, you know, girls think he's sexy. Look at Ron Paul. It's the kids, independent. I mean, it has nothing to do with age. It's whether your ideas are old, you know, and that's the bottom line. A lot of people just paint the youth as some dumb, you know, like everybody is, you know, the pre-teenage where they buy into the boy bands and all that stuff, and they're easily fooled. But when you get into college, you get into that 18 to 24 category, they know what's going on. They may not have the experience. They may make a few mistakes along the way, but don't kid yourself. What they want, society will get, and that is just a learning curve. It takes about 5 years or so, 3 or 4 years for the rest of the country to kind of assimilate it and get it. But they're the ones to tell you what the future's going to be. It's true. It always has been that way. Micah and Carrie on line two. It's Alan Handelman on FM Talk. Hi. It's great to have you back. We're going back in time to the archives of the Alan Handelman Show. This is in the year 2000. My conversation with Levon Helm. He wasn't happy with Capitol Records. They didn't even send him a copy of the box set they sent me when they set up this interview. And he didn't even do interviews. He was very, very difficult to get interviews with even back then.
Well, I'm not ready to give them a big pat on the back. They're a bunch of damn thieves as far as I'm concerned.
Now, let's elaborate a little bit more on that. How,
well, you know, what have they done? All they're doing is repackaging up what we've already given them, and they'll make a big deal out of it for their own benefit. But, hell, they haven't even sent me a copy of the record.
They haven't sent you a copy. They don't pay any money. But let you go into any music store and look under the band, and all the CDs are there. Even before they reissued them, they're all there, they're all out, and they're all selling, and they're not paying. We talk about this all the time, how bands get screwed over. Here's another example.
Well, you know, people probably think that I played drums with the band. As you say, I'm one of the founding members of the goddamn organization, so you'd think that Capitol Records would make me rich every year.
Yeah.
In case I'm stupid enough to spend it all before next year, before next payday. What the hell? I gave them 12 or 14 goddamn records, right?
Right.
So that ought to be enough to get rich every year.
Well, hey, I don't blame you for being pissed. I don't blame you for being pissed. Hey, you're also doing some. You did some. You played mandolin on a great comedy album. You were on Tim Wilson's album.
Now we're talking about talent.
There you go, Hillbilly.
Yeah, let's get back to talent.
Hillbilly homeboy.
Ah, he's a great guy, Larry. You're gonna love him. Have you seen him yet?
Nah, actually, yes, I have seen him, and I'm looking forward to seeing a lot more of that.
Me too.
Yeah, man. Yeah, the Lee Von Helm, of course, your acting career, it was you were in quite a few movies.
Well, I've gotten lucky a couple of times. I sure have. I would love to be in a movie with Tim Wilson.
That would be great.
He's a natural, that's for sure.
I love your spunk. I love your attitude. I like the fact that here, Capitol Records is putting out all the band stuff, including the greatest hits, and you're saying, hell with them. What good are they? I love that. I like.
Capitol Records is no friend of mine, my buddy.
Yeah, well, no, I appreciate that.
These bastards don't pay musicians money. You know, they screw musicians. Don't everybody know this?
Yeah. I have talked to so many bands, and not a single band, a member of a band told me, Alan, you know, the record company's been great to me. They've all have horror stories.
Right.
All have horror stories.
Right. Well, you know, people want to know, why don't you want to go to the Hall of Fame? I'm not going to go up there and break bread with them.
The minute I get a copy of the Barn Burners CD, I want to have you back on the show, man.
Thank you, Larry. We're going to shake it down for you, buddy.
Hey, listen, I hate to do this. It's kind of embarrassing, but I mean, I know it's just a slip. It's Alan. It's Alan. You call me Larry.
It's Larry.
No, it's Alan, but that's okay. I don't hold.
You can call me Leon.
All right, Leon. All right.
Hey, listen, come and see me, buddy.
I will, man.
The constant problem we were faced with was really twofold. Number one, do we stop having hits? Do we interrupt the hit machine because we're not getting our money and we're rubbing shoulders with all these scary people? Do we upset the whole apple cart here and probably take our life in our hands and leave or try to leave or sue them or something, or do we just kind of tough it out? Because they made it very clear early on that we weren't going to get paid. And we were making, you know, a lot of money.
How did he say that?
Well, you know, basically, when we'd go for the money, we would always get some statement that said we were $100,000 in the arrears because of our studio costs. And they would make up these phony charges, and they just kept doing it. And then no matter how ridiculous it was, they just weren't going to pay. And they let it be known that, you know, if you make too much of a fuss about it, something really bad could happen to you.
You know, up until now, whenever you heard of a group that is looking out for white men, usually tainted with some kind of a racist group, or I had a guy on the show back in the 80s. I can't remember his name, but he had a group, Men Association. But he just hated women. And so you always had some kind of fringe element. We're talking about when a college student tries to get money, and everywhere he turns, because he's poor, his parents couldn't afford it, everywhere he turned in Texas, there was nothing for his category, white men. There was stuff for women. There was stuff for minorities. But you know what? In Texas, white men now are the minority.
The intelligence of David Draymond. And that's a sample of what you're going to hear as we continue. And your calls. And turn on the camera, too. We are go to ifitrocks.com or wrfx.com. You can watch us live.
We are now taking calls at 1-800-ROCK-TALK, toll-free. Please shut off your radio before going on the air. This will avoid confusion with our delay.
Let's go to another hot-button issue. We've talked about it before, but I'm so frustrated because I've been talking about this on the radio, Dave, with not just fans, but with everybody. Whenever I talk about politicians, we talk about things that upset us, especially the rock culture. This ongoing drug war is definitely probably the number one hot button issue with this culture, and it continues. Want to give you 2 cents into that?
I'd love to.
Please.
I'm all for legalization of every single drug that is in existence on the planet. I think that you go ahead and you create an infrastructure which gives people a reason to, you know, find something taboo attractive. Whether it's people who all of a sudden now have a market for selling drugs illegally. You know, if it were simply regulated, if it were controlled, if it were not illegal, I mean, you take a look at a system that exists comparable to one in Amsterdam. You don't have those kinds of issues. You won't have the kind of crime that's associated with drug trade. You won't have the kind of irresponsibility that's associated with drug trade. You won't have the kind of quality issues that are associated with drug trade. If something like if an organization like the FDA took over control of something like that and had quality controls and maintained things. I mean, look, prohibition didn't work for a reason. People are going to do what they want to do, and they're going to get it by whatever means necessary. You can go ahead and wage war against somebody's id. You're not going to beat it. It can't happen. You tell a child, there's cookies at the top of the fridge, I don't want you to touch them. Boy, that child's going to do everything within their power to climb to the top of that fridge and get the cookies.
Absolutely.
There's nothing you can do. It's a silly notion. It's unfortunate that the majority of the country who are victims of bad upbringing and bad parenting go ahead and choose to try and demonize all sorts of things, whether they're drugs or whether they are blaming heavy metal music or whether they're blaming any other number of vices. When they can't go ahead and do the job well enough on their own, they blame the rest of the world, and they go ahead and decide to, you know, tie people's hands from doing that which they should be entitled to do freely.
Dave, whenever they bring up the violence they believe the drugs cause, because that's the big argument, if they would just substitute the word laws instead of drugs, they would have a point. I'm trying to say that the laws are causing the violence.
Oh,
it's
absolutely.
The laws. You don't find people, if they could get the drugs without the risk, and they could grow it in their own house without the risk, there wouldn't be the crime element.
Well, especially the kind of drug that you seem to be alluding to in terms of growing it in your own house. I don't know too many people who smoke marijuana that commit violent crimes.
That's another thing. I mean, of course, and that's the drug I am alluding to, because that is the most ridiculous. And that's the one that when I see people rotting in jail because they smoke pot 3 times and strike, you're out. And I see people for smoking pot in jail. That is criminal. It's insane. And the fact that so many people are brainwashed to think this is what we've got to do. It's not, you know, I look at what can't we treat it as a health issue?
You know, I think that every person has to know their own limitations. And you need to, just by having this blanket sort of rule that this is something that you are not permitted to be able to experience is going to make people want to do it that much more. Once the whole taboo issue gets lifted, it becomes a lot less attractive. It loses value. There is no market for it. And to me, that's really the ultimate end of that argument, is that, look, you're creating, you're making these things more desirable to people. You're giving these drug lords and these crime lords their power.
It's making it more fun.
Absolutely.
You know, I always wondered why people forget what it was like to grow up. Don't you remember how ridiculous adults were because they did stupid things? You knew it. So now a lot of you are adults and you're doing the same thing. You forget.
Yeah.
That's life goes on. All right. Our number, 800, we just cleared some lines. 800 Rock Talk. 800-762-5825. Lots of disturbed music tonight, including live stuff from the DVD that came out about a year ago.
That's subtle.
mincing of words that we all have to face. And I've talked about the situation where I was approaching a neighbor shortly after my house was built. It was a new neighborhood and had these little kids, you know, cutest little kids. And I, you know, they were friends, but they were coming in my yard and causing problems, throwing things at my dogs. And when I went to, and it was a black family, and I went to talk to them about the kids, I just got this overwhelming sense that they thought the reason I was complaining about their kids in my yard is because they were black, and it had nothing to do with that, nothing. So that's what I'm talking about. That's that subtle mincing of words. Happens on both sides, and that's what we're talking about. 866-482-1011. I know it's not conventional talk radio. It's the Alan Handelman Show, FM Talk 101.1 WZTK.